If you are genuine and you add real value to what somebody wants or needs, then it's going to happen. You don't have to sell it. It's about creating a match.
Welcome to the Sales Experience Podcast, the show for salespeople and sales leaders, where we help you create the ideal sales experience to generate raving fan customers. Grab your notepad and get ready for actionable steps you can use to change sales from a dirty word to an act of service for your prospects. Now for your host, Jason Cutter.
On this episode, I have Jane Clare with me to chat about mindset, business, and life. She is from the UK, living in France after traveling around the world in various places. Her coaching business is focused on helping people transition into online business with organic marketing. Jane, welcome to the show.
Jason, a very warm welcome and thank you very much for the invitation.
Yeah, so I am excited just even talking before we hit record. This should be fun. So the goal of the show is for salespeople and sales leaders on how to create a better sales experience. So let's start. Tell me your experience in sales or selling roles.
Okay. Well, apparently I've been told that, and this is from about the age of 8, that I could sell sand to the Sahara, which that was a bit weird, but because my mother worked in a charity shop and I went in and helped her. And I've never classed myself to be a salesperson because I believe strongly it's about the relationships that you build along the way and your own authenticity. And it is really about being congruent. And those all sound terribly big words because at the end of the day, it's just about being you. And I've worked in industries where technically it's not about sales as such, but from going to the supermarket, from running a £10 million company, from doing whatever, it's all about sales. But you've got to be you and true to you and how you expect others to want to be treated. And that's, I suppose, where I've been different. There've been quite a few years of being different, and I get that. And I love it. And am I a sales chick? Yeah, I am. And I'm very, very proud of it because I do it my way with awful lot of integrity. And I think for all of us in sales, we've been through an awful lot recently. We've had COVID, we still are. And the world is never the same. I personally never want to be sold to. And for those people who are listening, I'm doing the little italics on sold to. And who does? We don't want that.
Nobody.
In our world. No. If I come on here, Jason, and gone, well, I can sell you this and I can sell you that, you'd have literally blocked me, and rightly so. And I think the older we get, over 30 is a good age to talk about, we get super intelligent and we're emotionally intelligent. And once those sales signals come into our radar, we switch off. And I think we should too, by the way. If you are genuine and you add real value to what somebody wants or needs, then it's going to happen. You don't have to sell it. It's about creating a match. And I've got a great thing that I posted a few months ago about, would you date your ideal client? And a few people went, well, you're not supposed to, that's not professional. It's a metaphor. And the more commonality you share with your client, with the person that you're looking to do any kind of business relationship with, the more congruency there is, it's closer to the bullseye. When the bullseye is met, that's when the two parties both gain. Is that sales? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the word is, but that's my approach to it.
Okay. Sounds good. That was a lot. That's literally the summation of, I think, a lot of key things, right? So it's about relationships, it's about authenticity. What's fascinating is, and I've never heard anyone ask that before or mention that about, would you date your ideal client? Obviously that's not the goal, but I think what's key, and I bring this up because a lot of times sales and selling, if it's relational, even if it's a one interaction close, right? So if you're selling something, you're talking to somebody once and then you're moving on, even in that case, is that there's a lot of parallels to courtship, to dating, and the beginning of relationships. And really, I think the better version of that question, or the question to use, is would you attempt to date somebody in the same way that you act as a salesperson?
Exactly. And that's the literal translation of it.
Yeah.
I think when we meet a potential client, and nowadays, of course, that's whether it be online or face-to-face, there's lots of areas that the brain automatically sort of registers and gives you like a tick box. And when the values aren't the same, or the industry morality doesn't work for you, or they don't speak the same kind of language, as in whatever speak you are. I mean, I'm not a blue chip corporate woman. Never have been. Tried it once, failed miserably. I just don't fit into that mold. So if somebody's looking for that, they're not going to find it in me. So again, would we date? No. If somebody wants me to do things that aren't within my sphere of expertise, no. And I think it's being true to yourself in whatever profession you're in, whatever environment, whatever vehicle you take to market, it's got to be the one that you're most comfortable with. When you find that great sofa that is the best sofa in the world and you fit into it and you're like, it's mine. And you want that feeling, because when most of us work for a living and we either enjoy it, hate it, love it, and are super, super passionate, and lots of other negative things I'm not even going to go into. So you may as well find the best sofa, the best date. Once you've done that, it's the sweet spot. It's the bullseye. It's where it's not an effort.
Why do you think, because you're talking about how it should be done, right? And obviously anyone who knows me or listens to podcasts or anything that I do, it's literally the same way that I feel.
Okay.
Why do you think salespeople default to the other mode, which is the hard sale, the sales pitch, the illusion of a relational rapport type of conversation, but with that high pressure sales side?
I think they're probably in maybe the wrong niche. They are desperate. They've got targets, bonus things to achieve. They're working in an industry maybe that's not right for them because of either peer pressure, or they see a shiny object. They see a financial goal. Come with us and you can earn 10K a month. Okay, maybe. And they go along with it. And I think the beauty about being a bit older is that you realize that that's never going to be the way where you're going to achieve real, real success.
Yeah, definitely not long-term. I mean, I've seen a lot of salespeople do that short-term. They can do for a quarter, a month, a year, maybe even a few years, but it's tough to sustain that model. And I think what's interesting, going back to the courtship and the dating conversation, I mean, there's people who oversell themselves to try to get somebody to go on a date with them.
Yes.
And sometimes it works. Usually it pushes people away, but then the approach is, well, it's a numbers game, right? Just do that enough times and you'll find somebody who will agree with you. And I will contend that even if that works, and you close the sale and you get that date, it's probably not going to last. It's probably not going to be the right fit anyway, right? So
completely.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with sales, right? So it is a numbers game. If you call or talk to enough people, you could use any approach to make some level of sales happen. But is it sustainable? And is it the proper way to do it for yourself or those customers or your company/brand?
Yeah. It's a lot more for me than about numbers. I like a good P&L sheet. I like a good balance sheet. But at the end of the day, if I haven't enjoyed it, if I haven't given value, I haven't made a difference. I mean, and really, I'm talking honestly, Girl Scout, crush your heart, hope to die. Then what am I doing it for? We can do numbers. All of us can do numbers. Sometimes by misadventure or whatever you want to call it, or youthful naivety. And that's great. But once you get past a certain point, there has to be the ethical implication of what you do and how you do it.
So not to say that there was a time when you did unethical, high-pressure sales, okay? Because I don't believe that you probably ever did that, but maybe you did at one point. But do you remember a time where you shifted from maybe working in some kind of sales role or in a role where the motivation was more money-related, and then it shifted to a different purpose?
It did, definitely. And I was about, gosh, you're going back a bit. I was about 27, and I literally sold advertising space over the telephone. And a friend of my brother said, oh, low-cost, tacky advertising. I went, yeah, okay, cool. But I earned really well from it. And at that point, I knew that there had to be another way of doing it. So at 29, my own company doing it. And I had 42 sales reps. This is before the internet took off, by the way. So it's a long time ago. And I'd never known so much testosterone flying around. And my biggest game changer was, guys, you don't have to sell. Because taking that sort of macho, rah, 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 because they had a shelf life.
Yeah.
These were people who you could only sell at that level for so long. And my vision was to take it much, much longer. It worked in part. The other part didn't work. But that's cool. But I was true to me. And for me, that was a big shift.
So what part worked and what part didn't work when you made that shift?
It worked tremendously well for me. It worked for some of the staff on a certain level.
Got it. Makes sense.
And the others, no. They wanted the rah, rah, rah. They wanted the chase. They wanted the aggression that came with it. And I went, I'm not being funny, but in those days, we recorded all the calls, which was a bit of a techno achievement. Nowadays, it seems nothing, but then it was. And I was like, well, you can't say this, because then that's not true. And they didn't like being held accountable to their words.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I have in the past managed sales and customer service or processing the back end once the sale happens for, let's say, a service. I've also had lots of conversations with customer service leaders being the sales guy in the room. And there's always that disconnect, right? Where it's salespeople are setting things up, focused on the moment. They want to close the deals right now. They don't really care what happens afterwards. Maybe not compliant or truthful. And then it just ends up in a mess in the back end.
It's huge. And even when I lived in Dubai, I did some work for a great interior design company. And we were selling commercial interiors, big, big stuff. And there were some of the crew on the sales team who basically would say quite a lot that couldn't be delivered. And obviously, as an interior designer, I knew that. And at that point, you think, well, hold on, you've got to manage the customer properly and not, I'm not even a fib, for use of a better word, to get the sale. Because then we had like a crew of 80 who would have to try and then implement what some daft salesperson, for use of a better word, had promised. It's not fair on anybody.
No.
And you didn't need to do it. That was the difference. And I went in and I did, actually 2 years with them. And it was huge. And they were like, oh my God, you can do it. The owners were very congruent and ethical. And then some of the sales team were like, oh, you can do it really. And yes.
All right, that's it for the first half of my conversation with Jane Clare. Make sure to go to the website, cutterconsultinggroup.com/podcast, where you can find the show notes, Jane's links, and all of her information. And I will catch you on the second half. That's it for another episode of the Sales Experience Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you find yourself on iTunes, can you leave the show a rating and a review? It helps other salespeople and sales leaders find the show. And please subscribe to the show and share episodes you find valuable with anyone you know in sales. Help me on my mission of changing the way sales is done. And if you're ready to work together, go to jasoncutter.com. Again, that's jasoncutter.com to find out how I can help you or your company create scalable sales success. I will see you on the next Sales Experience Podcast episode. And keep in mind that everything in life is sales, and people will remember the experience you gave them.